Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. How would you like to support your favorite podcast by buying an amazing t-shirt or an amazing poster, or by just visiting www.air-raid.net and donating to this fine, fine show? We could really use your help here, people. We need some more equipment for the dining room studios to make things sound better and to make things be better. So why don't you just go to air-raid.net and buy a sweet t-shirt? How's that? All right, enjoy the program. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
Oh, yeah. I like this idea.
This is episode 130.
Hail to the king, baby.
What is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
It's gonna hurt a lot of it.
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
I don't think that's gonna work,
and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. And we have got a veritable payload of awesome for you today, this week. I always forget. I always have trouble with that. I always have trouble with the space-time continuum. Never fully understood that whole thing. We've got a great show for you this week, everybody. The band Ivan and Alyosha is gonna join us here shortly, here in the dining room studio. I had the pleasure of seeing these guys play Unplugged and a cappella at a studio opening, Soul Seattle, which is a fantastic thing. And I don't have I wish I had the website open right now. I don't, but we're gonna have a guy from that studio come and talk with us here in maybe a couple weeks, and he's going to tell us all about it. So, we will get to it then. But I, as always, am very unprepared for what I just said. So, anyway, Ivan and Alyosha, great band, going to be joining us here shortly. Like I said, I had the pleasure of seeing them play live a couple weeks ago, and it was fantastic. They were so good. I was very, very impressed with how they sang their harmonies. So I was talking to them. I think I was pretty drunk because they were serving straight tequila at this studio opening, and it was awesome. Because I'm not a big tequila drinker, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show. But man, I was just slurping it down. And I don't know if it's because it was free. Maybe that's it. Anything that's free, I'm just going to go for it, right? You're going to get as much as you can down your gullet. Yeah, true American. True American right here, guys. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. If you are a Seattle resident, you most likely watch the Seahawks game today. I'm recording this here in Dining Room Studios on Sunday, the 13th of January, and the Seahawks are now officially out of the playoffs. We are out. I mean, we had a good season, but it was during the first half today, so we were playing the Atlanta Falcons. During the first half, things were not looking great. And in true Seahawk fashion, we came back in the second half, and we were winning by 1 point. Were we winning by 1 point? Yes. We were winning by 1 point. Or no. Shit. We weren't. Okay, I take that back. We weren't. It was tied, and then we missed the field goal. Right? That's what happened. That's what I think happened anyway. I had been drinking a lot over my friend Burbank's house. Yeah, it was F. Guys, everybody had the Seahawks picked as being the ones that would take it all the way to the Super Bowl. Even Nate Silver, the renowned, the world now world renowned statistician who predicted all of the states that would go Obama in the last election. He had everything correct in the election, but he couldn't predict who was going to make it to the Super Bowl. Wow. Ugh. But what a game, right? What a game. And therein lies the problem, is that every Seattle fan, when a team of ours makes it that far, we're like, wow, you know, we had a great season. But I was talking to my friend Annie Hurst during the second half of this game, and he was like, I don't want to do that anymore. And I totally agreed with him, because we've done that so many times in Seattle, but we've never gone all the way. A couple times in some of the teams, but I don't think the Mariners have ever won a World Series. I don't think we've ever made it to the World Series as the Mariners. We've definitely never won a Super Bowl as the Seahawks. We've won the championship in as the Sonics back in like 1977, but we don't even have a basketball team right now, and we're working on that. Shit. I don't think I've ever been this this totally devastated after a sports game ever. I'm a fair weather fan here, people. I'm a fair weather fan. I do get into the football every time it comes around each year. And I root for the Seahawks. But man, what a letdown today. What a friggin' letdown. It's terrible. Okay. Wow. I just had to get that off my chest. I don't even know if it made sense. I think I'm still a little bit drunk. But I just had to speak my piece. I had to speak my piece. All right. Hey, so if you're new to the show, welcome and sorry. But we've got a whole bunch of great shows in our archives that you can go to www.air-ray.net. And go check out the archived shows. I mean, we've got shows with like Bob Saget, artists like Macklemore, John Roderick, Eric Axelson of the Dismemberment Plan. That was way back there. Sean Nelson of Harvey Danger. I mean, all sorts of people. Dana Gould from Seinfeld and The Simpsons. Pete Holmes, great comedian. Moshe Katcher, author and comedian. I mean, come on. Come on, go and check it out, www.air-ray.net, and you can check out all the archive shows. Also, please go to iTunes and rate and review the show. We really need your help on that. We're almost to 100 ratings on the U.S. iTunes page, so please go there and check us out and leave us a little review or just a star rating. Only take you a few seconds, so we really appreciate that. And, of course, the iTunes things run on a very odd algorithm. So, like when we had Kulap Vlysak and Howard Kramer on the show back in the day, you know, we talked about that a little bit, and they even said, go and rate and review the Air Raid podcast. So, come on, what are you guys waiting for? What are you waiting for? Also, see, I'm just getting out the plugs here. I'm just getting out the plugs before we go to the first musical break. Just hang with me here. We also need your help. We need some donations. We need some people to buy T-shirts. We've still got two $25 gift certificates to the Olive Garden that we will give away to the next two people who buy T-shirts from the Air Raid podcast. Great T-shirts. It's got a silhouette of a dude riding an H-bomb. I mean, come on. Wow. Fantastic T-shirts. $15 a piece. And you get yourself a Olive Garden gift certificate. It's going to be fantastic. Okay, hey, let's get to the rest of the show, shall we? Wow, I really sold the first half, didn't I? This is Fathers Be Kind by Ivan and Alyosha. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us. We'll go ahead and steal from them. Brothers, be good to your sisters and lovers. Leave behind your mistress over scars. Take a pen and paper and write that to me. But you know that the end of the tunnel is dimmer. And so All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Joining me here is that band, Ivan and Alyosha. Tim, Ryan, and Pete joining me here in the dining room. How's it going, guys?
Good.
So good. Good.
Well, that song came on really loud. I apologize.
As it should.
I apologize. Ryan's the only one lucky enough to not have headphones on at the point. Yeah. So, Air Raid Podcast, credited with ruining each of your guys' eardrums. I got a quick question for you guys. Did any of you ride a scooter?
I ride a motorcycle.
You ride a motorcycle?
A little 70s Honda. It's got a oil leak right now, so I don't ride it. But
okay.
I do. It's not a scooter, but it could be mistaken for a scooter because of its size.
Well, riding, I just want to let you guys know, this is like a PSA here. Riding a scooter right now in Seattle is a terrible idea.
Why?
Either early in the morning or in the evening when you're trying to get home from work and do a fake radio show.
So this is personal.
Yeah. It's not a great idea. So all of you listening out there, please, you know, heed my warning.
Do you ride a scooter?
I do. Yeah. That's what I was alluding to, Ryan. Yes.
Picking up on that.
It was a cold. It was a very cold and wet ride into the bus stop this morning. And then a very wet and windy ride. I suck it in a lot. Like, I try to make myself look like, you know, strong.
Svelte.
Yeah. And so I was on this scooter at the stoplight, and the wind was blowing so hard this evening that I almost got blown over.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I need to do some like leg exercises, I think. You know? Yeah.
Core strength.
You guys are really rethinking coming on this show, aren't you?
If you need a spotter.
Like, oh my. Or you should put a sail on your scooter, save some gas.
Ooh, that's a good idea. It could be like a Water World kind of thing, right?
In all seriousness,
carry dirt
seriousness
around.
Though,
yeah.
I do ride a motorcycle, and I know what you're talking about. That I've been in high winds, or even I took the thing on the freeway once, and it was very
squirrely
and super squirrely. Like a car would go by and like. Huge gust.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dangerous.
Well, at least you ride like a real motorcycle. Mine's just a scooter. Like, if I fell over on a scooter, people would be like, that's sad, sorry sack of shit. Like, you fall over on a motorcycle, people are like, oh my God, is he okay? You know? You fall over on a scooter and
you deserve
just,
it.
You deserve it. And you get laughed at. Well, welcome to the dining room, guys. Thank you so much for coming out tonight.
Thanks for having
really
us.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks for the whiskey.
That's the end of the show. So,
99.
So I saw you guys play at this little get together. What was it? Last month?
Yeah.
Is that last month at Soul Seattle or
Seattle Social Men.
Right. At this new kind of really cool space there, and you guys did like an acapella versions of your music.
There.
And I had never heard you guys before. I had heard your name talked about, you know, in the scene, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I think I was a little drunk when I approached you guys. So I'm actually a little surprised that you're here right now, because I remember like interjecting myself into other people's conversations a lot that night.
There was free tequila.
Yeah, there was a lot of free tequila.
Delicious.
That was very, very good. Mm-hmm. I'm not usually a tequila drinker, but that was fantastic.
They had the good stuff.
They did have the good stuff. Yeah.
El Jimador.
Yeah. See, I don't equate El Jimador as like
the good stuff.
Like the best. That's not like the best of the best, right?
It's only when you say it, El Jimador. That's when
I
it's
like
the good
it though.
Stuff.
I mean, I like it for my price range.
Yeah?
You know?
Are you guys tequila? I take it you're tequila drinkers then.
I the only stuff I can afford is this stuff called Juarez. and it gives you rot gut.
Does that have a pirate on it?
I don't know. I can never remember what's on it.
No, what was it?
Isn't that a city across the border?
It is. I actually did buy tequila for like $6 one time. It was called Juarez. I'm like, I brought it home to my wife. I'm like, hey, I got tequila. She's like, what is that?
I wouldn't say, I mean.
That's not tequila. That's water from
wouldn't
Juarez.
Say we're connoisseurs by any sense. Well, maybe Ryan is a connoisseur. But
are you, Ryan?
Not a tequila.
Can you drink it straight, though? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think that was my first night ever drinking tequila straight.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah.
They put it in champagne flutes, too, which is kind of fancy.
It was super fancy.
That's all they had. I think they used it because they didn't have anything else.
You mean the champagne flutes?
Yeah, they did it because it was fancy.
Pull those microphones up closer to your face holes when you guys are talking.
Get in there.
Yeah. I'm going to take charge of this situation. but, yeah, that you guys did a great show, and I was super impressed with your abilities to sing harmonies in a live setting like that. How long have you guys been a band?
That's a good question.
Is it really? That's kind of a easy, like, not maybe not for you, but for me that was like the easy go to.
Well, it's kind of been like the slow train coming. You know, because
I'm not familiar with that.
Ryan and I maybe started talking about making music together.
Mm-hmm.
What's 2009 or 2007? And then we spent probably a year recording our first record, which came out I think October 2010. Mm-hmm. Officially,
yeah.
So it was kind of a slow build, you know. I keep on telling people 4 years, but that was probably 2 years ago that we've been a band 4 years. But then the four of us have been a band touring, playing together for
about
3 years, like full time.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
It's been a slow burn.
Yeah, I mean
slow build,
or a slow train a coming, right?
Yes.
Yes.
People get ready. There's a train coming.
So what did it start out as? Because everybody goes through kind of big changes in a band, right? I mean, did your sound always like what it is now? What did you guys start out as?
Well, I think Ryan and I started making that first record together, and somebody asked me the other day, like, when did it click between the band? But mm-hmm. it's always kind of been, like, a work in progress, in a sense. It's always kind of been like, well, I hope this works. not necessarily now. I think we have gotten better at what we do. But I think the first record we made was, like, we're huge Beatles fans, but it was a bit more maybe even experimental, like kind of just did what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think since our sound has really tightened up, especially on the records, we're always talking about trimming the fat in the songs and in the production and the recordings.
Yeah.
So I think it's changed. It's simplified, but I think we've gotten better at what we do. And we've also just maybe gotten a bit more specific of with what we want in the songs and so I think it's changed.
So, yeah, and you guys, do you all feel like it's obviously it's going to be much tighter than when it was when it began, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully. Well, there's always that sweet spot, right? I mean, I used to play music a lot, and there's always that sweet spot once you've been playing together with somebody for a long period of time, where you can just walk in and there's no guarded feelings or anything like that. You're not going to get your feelings hurt if somebody doesn't like a part that you're playing or mm-hmm. something like that, you know? And it just flows, right?
Yeah.
Tim, you gave me a look there. You're like, they never like my part.
No comment.
So let's go around the table really quick and say what everybody plays. Ryan?
I play guitar.
Guitar. I play guitar.
There you go.
Tim Wilson here. I sing and play the acoustic.
Pete Wilson here. I play the bass.
Tim Kim, guitar.
Awesome, awesome. So wait, do you got? Don't you guys have a drummer? Is there a drummer?
There's a rotating. Few. Okay. We kind of have Spinal Tap syndrome with drummers.
We have like 10. Not joking.
We have had 10.
Like the just guys that sit in for live shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Or do you guys play live much with drummers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean that's our live show is excuse me. pretty loud, and you know, I always tell people at the end of the day we're just a rock band. But yeah. The drummer situation, I feel like you find a great drummer. There's a lot of great drummers in Seattle, but a lot of them are busy and play with a lot of different bands. And
yeah, that's a thing, man. Like drummers are always the hardest people to find.
Because they're rare. I feel like great drummers are rare.
Okay, so here's the thing. Tim, you're a father, right? Is anybody else a father at this table?
One on the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations, man.
Thanks.
Yeah. Here's my plan. 7-point plan. I'm going to turn my daughter into a drummer. We've got little drums all over the place.
That's awesome.
in the house. She's going to be surrounded by music, you know, as she grows older. And she is going to be like a cool chick drummer.
She'll get so much work.
Yeah, right?
Seriously.
Yeah, she'll be famous by the age of 13. And then I can quit my job.
Nice.
That's the 7th point of the 7-point plan.
Yeah.
Is me being able to retire at the age of 40.
You should join the army.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. See, I already got done telling you guys how fat and lazy I was. So I don't think that's not in my cards.
I could just be the ticket.
Yeah. So being a parent, Tim, in this world of music is it pretty difficult to like go on tour? I imagine you guys have gone on tour.
Yeah.
Right? Long tours.
Long tours.
Yeah.
You know, since about last January, we started recording the record that is now coming out in February.
Mm-hmm.
But, so we haven't toured as much within the last year, but yeah, it sucks, and it's hard to go out for, you know, 3 weeks is like almost doable, you know?
What's the longest that you guys have been on?
That's not, we've done 6 weeks, but Henry was with us, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So we did 6 weeks, but I had my wife and kid out with
us. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It was crazy.
Yeah?
And they're gonna...
What did everybody else think about that? When he told you guys that he was going to bring his kid on tour, what were you thinking?
I thought it was going to be fine.
I think we were all really stoked. It was really fun. It's like family vibe on the road for us. But like the schedules are, you know, we load out at 1:30 in the morning and then finally get to sleep like at 2:33. And then, you know, Henry's up crying at 6 or 7.
Are you guys all sharing like the same room?
Oh, we were in an RV at that time.
Oh, okay.
So we were like
real
hippie.
Real close.
Yeah. It was
super hippie.
So at like that was like now we stay with friends or get hotels and wives will fly in periodically, and then it was like everyone came out, we never got hotels, and we were all just like two
sweaty
feet away from each other.
Oh man.
Gnarly.
Yeah. So we felt bad for like drummers that we would hire out for the road. Like, yeah, come on out. Like, by the way, you're going to get a shower once every 5 days. And
going to be a one-year-old crying at 6:30 a.m. every morning.
You're going to have to hang out with it. Plus, you're going to be a babysitter.
Yeah. You do communal Trader Joe's runs with everybody. You have to pitch in.
But I do think now, I mean, I don't know if you guys would agree, but it's like a little, I mean, we've learned a lot. It's not kind of, it is, it's maybe a bit more manageable. It's not like a do or die kind of a thing like it used to be. It's like, all right, this is kind of the reality of what we do. Wives and everybody come out when they can, but it's not like I need to be with you every second of the day, because it's very, when we're out on the road, it's like you're in road mode, and when you're home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now it's like, I mean, this is basically your guys' job now, right? Are you guys still working day jobs?
Have
you taken that step yet?
We've sort of, some of us kind of have like one foot in, one foot out, like kind of get work when we're home sometimes.
Yeah.
And then when we're, you know, gone, obviously.
Yeah. Is that a scary thing?
Yep.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. What?
Well, just like, you know, getting to the point where it's like, well, we've got, you know, we're planning this new record. We're going to go, you guys are going to do a supporting tour for the new record, correct?
Mm-hmm. Or yeah, or a couple of headline tours, like 8 weeks of headlining dates.
And really? Then
that'll kind of bring us into summer.
But. Yeah. So how do you, I mean, that's gotta be a little bit weird and crazy if you have like a day job and you got to approach your boss and say, I'm going to be gone for 8 weeks.
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of the like odd jobby type stuff that we might do when we're home is very, it's kind of like you're your own boss. You make your own schedule, but you know, we have been home for a while, kind of almost purposefully, like building up to the release of the record.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when we put out Fathers Be Kind, we were on the road for a year and a half. You know,
off and on,
almost off and on. But when you're home, it's like you kind of lick your wounds and then you go back out. And,
yeah.
And you kind of just make it work. But
it's a little easier now. Like when we put out Fathers, we had just gotten a booking agent, but the tour was booked without the booking agent, just through our management and this dude who had never booked a tour before. But he did great. But it was like we were. You know, if the bar made money, we would get some gas money.
Right, right.
And so it was pretty gnarly, but now it's a little bit easier with, like, more people on our team working for us. So we'll actually get an email saying, like, hey, this club's going to pay you.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll be like, so it's not as, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's not as punk rock as it used to be, but.
Yeah.
correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the last time any of us held, like, a steady 9-to-5 was beginning of 2011. I think that's when our more extensive touring started.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So let me ask you that question again with that in mind. Like was that point in your life it must have been exciting, right? Thinking about, you know, the future of the band and doing and touring and seeing the country and things like that and sharing your music with people. But like
Sorry.
What?
No. Go.
But was it also kind of a scary thing too to like, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think we all have pretty substantial financial obligations here. even back then, and yeah, it was definitely a mixed feeling kind of event that. Last day of work, you know, just feeling really excited to pursue what we've always wanted to pursue and really go for it. But then on the other hand, it's, kind of a shot in the dark too. But
yeah,
a lot of that was really, I think, what helped me at least personally was just the fact that I know these guys, I've known these guys for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We've been friends for a long time and I don't know. Something about that was really appealing and comforting. Just to know that we'd be good friends through.
You'd be going down in the plane together.
Yeah, so to I was gonna bring him down with me. I was gonna take the van.
We're down in flames.
Into the goalie.
I am again. I mean, I think maybe everyone would agree here, but yeah, punk rock back in the day, like when we first went on the road. In 2011, and now I feel like Ryan was saying this recently. We feel like we went through all that, you know, spent 2 years on the road together, made a couple records together under our belt, or EPs, and before we did a full length. It's just made us a better band. I feel like we're really prepared now for what lies ahead, and I think we really get a shot to do it right, you know. And I think whereas before it was like, man, I hope this works. And now it's like, all right, it's working. Now we just have to go out and do it and really work hard at it to kind of get over that, hill. so we're coasting downhill,
yeah,
in a sense.
Yeah.
But, or maybe it will never be like that. You know, maybe we'll always have to slog it out. But
That's
kind of what it feels like to me.
Well, I think you guys are definitely on your way. I mean, just listening to the stuff that you guys have out right now and seeing you guys play live and do just, I mean, amazing a cappella versions of those songs. Like,
cool.
I think you guys got a lot of good things coming to you. So let's do this. Let's go to our second musical break. We are featuring music from the band Ivan and Alyosha, and when we get back, we'll have more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us. This is Living for Someone by Ivan and Alyosha. We'll be right back. Someone by Ivan and Alyosha, and joining me here in Dining Room Studios is the band Tim, Ryan, Pete. Welcome back, guys. Thanks for not leaving.
We ain't leaving ever.
So how did the name get chosen for this band? What's the background on the name Ivan and Alyosha?
They're all pointing at me. This is like when when we drive out of a show and everybody touches their nose and says, "Not driving."
Is this something interviews. that you have to answer all the time? Like this yeah. is a question.
We actually we're talking about drummers. We used to make like drummers that we would hire out that had either like just met us or like have no background in the band. Like, so where's the name come from? Like,
boom.
You want to take
okay?
This one?
You know what? You know what? Screw that question. Let's talk about answering the same question over and over again on radio and podcast interviews. So do you guys, because I've recently did a show with the comedian Hari Kondabolu from New York, and this show called Totally Biased on IFC. That's not right. FX. Anyway, I was asking him like all the same things that he had answered before yeah. in other interviews. Because I don't like to do, like me, my interview style is I think, fairly loose. And I don't like to do much homework, you know,
yeah.
or research.
Why would
on the
you?
People I'm talking to? And I've thought about this a lot in the last couple weeks because I was like, oh, I should have said that to him, asshole. I find it more interesting if I don't know anything about you guys to come in and like learn something. Right?
Sure.
Yeah. Learn something yeah. myself. And I think that makes for a much more interesting interview. But anyway, he chewed me out in the second half of the show, saying, "I've done this interview. You should do a Google search. I've done this interview so many times,
thousands of times."
Yeah, but then he apologized profusely, and we had a great show. But, So what's it like going into things like this? Do you guys usually kind of dread answering the same questions? Because you have been doing like quite a lot of press lately, too, right?
You know, I will honestly say I don't mind answering the same question over and over. I do yeah. mind when people
don't do research.
Either either mispronounce the name or maybe like the producer of a radio show likes the band and yeah. the person interviewing us just could not care less. You know,
yeah,
stuff
have
like
you felt that.
That.
Have you felt that before?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like give me a can. We don't have to say names or anything.
Well, when we were in Chicago, that uh-huh. guy at that one place.
Not Chicago. It's different.
Yeah we were in
it
Chicago.
Was Evanston.
We were in Evanston, Illinois. And you could definitely tell that this guy just
he couldn't
had no
care
interest
less.
In the band like, at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are you guys on the road right now or something?
And he was, yeah, he was
that's like that's
about
a
something.
Question I just asked. Crap.
No, but you, I mean, no he different. Was so like bummed that we were there. We're like, oh, I would love to be, you know, drinking coffee right now. This,
yeah.
But I do think the thing about answering, you know, where'd you guys get the name is, mm-hmm. I don't think we're all that obsessed with ourselves that we can't answer that question 1,000 times graciously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, just because like it's. It's a typical question, but it's also like we realize that the band name is maybe a bit unique. So mm-hmm.
yeah, mm-hmm. that's yeah. like I mean, we kind of signed up for it.
Well, deciding on a band name is a really tough thing,
it's
right?
The worst.
Because it can make yeah. your band sound like no matter what your music or your style is. The name of your band can make you sound like a bunch of like pussies, yeah. or it can make you sound like just a totally contrived, like, you know, what's it, for lack of a better term, like the same thing, you know,
yeah.
that everybody's heard over and yeah. over again. So, yeah, I mean, it's a unique name, and I had no idea how to say it until I saw you guys live.
Well, just that
there's
bit of research.
Alvin's
is,
and the Aloysius. There's a few ways to say it, like, there's a few ways to say the name just, like, by looking at it. The annoying thing is when people don't even look at the name. They say,
right,
like,
right.
Aloysia and totally flip-flop letters in the
or
name.
Or Aloysius or something.
Yeah.
Aloysian. You shouldn't really be making fun, Ryan, you shouldn't really be making fun of people's disorders. That's called dyslexia. And,
we have
and
gotten Aloysian.
How dare you, sir? Yeah.
There's no N on the
to be honest, though. I mean, we definitely have kind of assumed the wrong pronunciation of it, when in fact in the Russian language it's supposed to be pronounced Ivan and Alyosha or something like that. There's actually
we don't even care.
I'm not gonna do that. Totally, don't do that. We're Americans. I, believe it or not, I'm an American.
You certainly
what?
He's Native American. That's what he means.
But we did get the band name from a friend who was a big Brothers Karamazov fan. So Ivan and Alyosha are two brothers in a book.
Had you guys ever seen? Yeah, I read your website. So I actually did do a little bit of research. Yeah. Had you guys ever been to see the Brothers Karamazov? Oh wait,
see it?
Oh no. I'm thinking. You know what? I always
was there a theatrical?
No, I always get these guys mixed up with the Brothers Karamazov.
The Flying Karamazov brothers?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like a circus.
Yeah, yeah.
We get Google alerts from them.
Do you really?
No, I mean, we get some Russian or even like Russian bands like Ivan and something or other. Like
there's like a big pop Russian star. Her name is
Alyosha.
Alyosha.
Yeah. I get that a lot.
I've looked her up. She's kind of cute.
Whoa.
What we've been trying to perpetuate right now is people just saying I and A, which seems to be – people that are familiar with the band maybe just say I and A.
Gotcha. So that's almost like the new symbol.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like bands used to have symbols. Now it's just like abbreviations and acronyms.
Yeah.
It's like New Order.
We're just going to be hashtags.
No. N-O? Really?
Yeah, they do that on their album covers.
But then there's a band called No, too. Great band from L.A. Love them.
Really? No?
No.
I have to check that out. N-O. I've never even heard of that.
They're incredible, yeah.
They're sick.
So what's your guys' – what's like the penultimate thing that you guys have done so far? One thing like being out on the road that you guys have done or appearing on like KXP or appearing on NPR. What's the one thing that you guys have done that you kind of agree that has been the big thing?
I think the thing that we talk about a lot is the chance.
I wasn't asking you, Pete.
Oh,
shut up.
No, I'm just joking.
The thing that we talk a lot about what we've been privileged to do is to open up for bigger artists who've been around for a few years. And it's taught us, we've been privileged to do that because it's taught us like how to work really hard as a band. And you're not just playing for people's applause or dinner, beer,
or like
or
10 people in a club.
yeah. But I think that's like a big thing that we hold pretty dear because we got a lot of great advice from these artists pretty early on and got us working pretty hard early on. So I don't know if that's a definite answer to the question, but
can I piggyback, Pete?
Hop on.
I think probably one of the pinnacles of what we've done, what we've been able to do is tour with Brandi Carlile, but one of the probably highlights for me at least, which stands out, is the zoo or show at Woodland Park. And it was our first night on the road with her for a second run that we did, and Dave Matthews showed up and sang a song with Brandi, and it was just like a hot summer night, and there were like 4,000 people there. Just felt right.
That's pretty rad.
Kind of like you kind of get a glimpse of what you want to do with your life, and then then everybody drives home. So I kind of hold that memory very dear.
I'll tell you what I hold dear is
Southgate House
is not. Don't no. So
what was that?
It's a venue. It's actually reopened, so we probably shouldn't say anything.
Newport, Kentucky. I like
it. Darkest place on earth.
No, but
you have to tell that now. You have to tell that story now.
I mean, there's no specific story. It's just the general,
the Midwest in general
of that venue, and that whole scene there. Was a little depressing.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
But I have to say, we have had the fortune of...
The misfortune?
of being able to tour and, I don't know, I guess kind of just be around, Amy Mann,
who, oh, yeah,
who've, I've always really held up high in my mind.
Did you go on tour with her?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man. Twice. I didn't know that. Twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
And she's sang on that record that you have there now.
Which is what, oh, I was really going to say.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Go, Tim. Go.
But that kind of just immortalizes that. And
I
feel really good about that.
Did she come up here to record with you guys? Or what was
no,
the
we sent
that?
That. We sent kind of just like a digital whatever. What's the official?
Send her the files.
Send her the files. She sang on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But... what just made me think of that, though, too, is this picture was taken when we were on the road with her.
Oh, really? Okay. We're talking about the new album that comes out. It's called All the Times We Had. It comes out February
26th.
Oh, 26th. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say 18th. Sorry. we've had a chance to listen to one of the songs here, and it sounds fantastic. Where did you guys record this here in Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
At a Vast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
How was that experience recording in that studio?
It was awesome. I think it was the longest we'd spent in a real studio.
How long were you guys in it?
2 weeks. And we got like 95% of it done, and then we kind of tracked the rest at home.
Nice.
We did a week at Electro Kitty Studio in Wallingford.
Few days, yeah.
A few days.
Yeah.
Days.
Is that the one is that the one owned by Stone Gossard? That's not.
No, that's no. Litho. Litho.
That's yeah. Litho.
And
yeah.
Ballard,
okay.
Yeah. That's a great studio. We've done a couple
awesome.
Of
these. Well, it used to be in Wallingford, didn't it?
Oh, really?
I think so.
Oh.
I thought it was anyway.
I might be
it
confused.
Is in Wallingford.
Is it? Okay. Yeah.
Litho
okay.
is?
Yeah. No.
I thought Litho was
Electro-
in Ballard.
Electro Kitty's in Wallingford.
Wait, no. Fremont.
Fremont.
Fremont. Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool studio, too.
Wow. Studio talk on the Air Raid podcast.
Cairo.
CairoRadio.com. So do you guys still like touring? I mean, does it still kind of fulfill some inner need that you guys have, or are you kind of over it now? Like it's just basically like a job now.
I have like a love-hate relationship with touring now.
Yeah.
Where I feel like the better it gets, the more I like it.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to like be over it. But I think it's at a spot where I think it will get better, and we're like Tim was saying earlier, we're kind of learning how to do it
mm-hmm.
and not go crazy.
Yeah. Are you guys still like traveling in RVs and stuff?
And we have a van with a trailer now.
Oh, nice.
Which
nice.
Is pretty nice.
Yeah,
hotel.
You still can't
hotels.
Get up and walk around in it, though.
No,
like
everyone yeah. has like their little DVD station on the rows. So
yeah.
we'll put up blankets so to block out the sun and just watch movies all day.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. I think I mean this last tour that we went on, it was in October. It was probably the most boring tour ever.
Yeah,
but it was the most happy I'd been on the road ever.
Because nobody talked to each other like the whole time.
No, because I think we kind of you know what to expect. And
yeah.
Sometimes the road can be like you know high highs and low lows, and you have to kind of be prepared for all of that. And it's just you just learn, you know.
Yeah.
And yep. You know, one night you're playing for 2,500 people. And then the next night you're playing for 10 people, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've done support dates where we fill in the gaps with shows ourselves, and so it's just kind of a roller coaster, and you have to figure out how to stay sane and stay happy. And
yeah, yeah.
I was just gonna say, I find I get used to it. Where if I'm home for a while, I'll kind of get accustomed to it and enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
But once we start touring, I'm like bummed for like a week, and then. And then I start to enjoy it.
Yeah,
like
and then it's
once
over.
The tour, yeah, and then it's over.
And you're like, ah.
Well, lucky for you, we've got 8 weeks.
Yeah,
yeah, coming up, man.
We had on this last tour, we played. I think it was the night we played New York, and then the next night we played. Where was that?
Lancaster,
Pennsylvania. And whenever we play,
awful.
So,
was it really?
Whenever we play a town that we've never played before, yeah. And we knew in this tour there wasn't going to be a lot of promotion because it was supposed to be our CD release tour, but then we ended up signing with somebody, so they put a hold on the record and blah, blah, blah. So, like, New York's always been really great for us. So we played New York, and it was, you know, there's a ton of people there, and our management's from over there, and it was kind of a blast. And then the next night we go over and play Lancaster, and there's like, at the start of the show, maybe 8. At the end, 2?
2.
Oh, no.
And for the opening bands, like, their vocals, the main speakers weren't on.
Oh, no.
And so we had to go over, and I think Ryan talked to the sound guy. He's like, hey, I think something's wrong. He's like, you're right. Like,
oh, God.
It was like just one of those nights that you just kind of get used to that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, last night was great. Tomorrow night may not be, but we still have to play through the set.
But we got paid $300.
Yeah.
Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
I know. You kind of feel bad, though, walking out. You're like, sorry, guys.
Oh, shit.
There's a hip-hop show upstairs, too, to make it all that much better.
Really? So you could just, like, hear, like, stomping and the bass from upstairs?
And you could see the
sound guy was going
hoochies.
Back and forth.
Oh, my God. So what happened in Kentucky?
Well,
do tell. Come on.
Well, you can still smoke over there in the venues, so the place smells awful.
Right.
Or awesome, depending on what you
how
are.
You look at it.
Yeah.
But Newport, Kentucky is just across the river from Cincinnati, Ohio. Cincinnati, Ohio being one of the most depressing places on the face of the earth.
Watch what you say. We've got
you're not from Cincinnati.
The mayor of Cincinnati is a big listener.
Oh, gosh. No, it's no offense to the people that live there. Just
I'm sure some of them would probably agree with you, too. So, yeah.
Go Bengals.
So we just have not had good luck at said venue.
Yeah.
Or town. Yeah. And we've played there, what, 3 times? 2 times?
2 times.
2 times. We just keep on going back. Can't get enough.
And they
have... Well, have you seen an improvement since, like, going back there, like, a couple times?
Well, we haven't played there in a while. The places that we do go back to, we see a slight improvement, or unless there's, like, college radio is, like, recently... had us on whatever heavy rotation or
right
it's stuff like that that'll really make a difference. But if there's just like nothing going on, like, we'll go back and there will still be 12 people hanging out in there.
Yeah,
we played
a little festival in Cincinnati that was, it wasn't great, but it was like 3 times better than than our
well, you just get a lot more like foot traffic, right?
Yeah,
during a
so.
Festival.
Yeah.
There was 35 people there.
I kind of...
They're into it.
And one hippie dancer. There's always that one, like, older guy that has, like, some weird paisley shirt on, and he's just going for it, man.
Just digging it.
Yeah. I saw this one guy. We were at a, the Fat Tire, the New Belgium Brewery festival is over in Montana.
Montana.
They had some tour... Was that Tour de Fat? No.
Oh,
I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. There was some sort of festival going on in Missoula, Montana. And there was live music. And there was one dude standing up, like, you know, 2 feet away from the stage. Just, I mean, he was holding a beer and he couldn't stop dancing even to, like, put his beer down. And so I have it on, like, video on one of my older cell phones. And it's just... so comical watching this guy try to put his beer down, but he can't stop dancing. So he's like, he can't get the beer quite on the PA system that he was trying to set it down on. You can't see this at home, people, but I'm acting it out as I'm doing it. Well, really so funny. So what's what album comes out February 26th?
Yes.
Where are you guys stopping at on the subsequent tour? A lot of places. Yeah.
So on this run,
Pete knows.
I just know because we punched in all the numbers yesterday for gas. But we go through Denver, and
you start here in Seattle.
Like, CD release? We have our CD release in Seattle. Sorry,
Showbox Feb 23
with Chris Orlowski.
Please don't say Feb.
And Smokey Brights.
Smokey Brights.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's February 23rd. My wife is due on the 28th.
Oh, shit.
And we go on the road on the 6th.
Whoa.
So.
It's the 10th.
Oh my 10th. Gosh, Pete, you're screwed. Oh,
I thought it was our first show was 7th.
I don't know. I'm.
So we kind of we're going to South by Southwest in Austin. So we kind of we do a couple shows down there, starting in Denver, and then we make our way over to the West Coast, go through New Mexico and Arizona, and then kind of shoot up the West Coast.
Okay.
So that one's just like a 3-week tour, and then we have about a week off.
Oh, okay. Sure. Gotcha. Okay. Well, what's the website? Where can we find out about new dates and stuff like that?
IvanandAlyosha.com or...
Pretty sure you pronounced that wrong.
Ivan and Alyosha.
There you go.
.edu.
Or IandAMusic.com. We have Facebook, Twitter. I don't think we have MySpace.
Oh, we do have MySpace.
We do have MySpace.
And you got a Bandcamp.
If you Google Ivan and, it should come up.
There you go.
That's what I do.
Well, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to come and talk with me. This has been a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed yourselves.
We did.
I hope I didn't ask the same questions that you've answered a million times, Tim.
No.
It was a lot of fun.
Okay, good. Will you please make eye contact with me? We are out of time, but we are going to feature something off your guys' upcoming album, All the Times We Had. This is a fantastic song. It's called Running for Cover. And, yeah, you guys can get your hands on this February 26th. So mark that down on the calendars. You can also find us at www.air-raid.net. Also at the all-new CairoRadio.com, MyNorthwest.com. And follow us on Twitter. We need you there. We need your support. Because I tweet some funny fucking stuff, and you guys, I mean, you're gonna want to follow this, because I mean, it's so good. It's the worst. Don't follow me on Twitter. Okay, this is Running for Cover. Thank you guys for listening this week, and we'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Have a good week, everybody. If you could find